Post-Harlan Monologics. Number 00005. Recorded on October 18, 2022. Production location, Post. Harlan. Texas. Chemical Cheese. Chemical Cheese. Chapter 5.
The opinions of Maverick 88 are not necessarily the opinions of Maverick 88. Sensitive content warning. Viewer discretion is advised.
Now, buckle up. You are on the runaway train of thought. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, the one, the only, Maverick 88.
Just about every single morning during the work week in my daily hamster wheel routine, I walk into the facility break room where somebody is microwaving some kind of chemical cheese concoction. Chemical cheese. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's like that, like macaroni and cheese powder shit. Something happens in a microwave with, and I don't know what that stuff is. We, you know, like American cheese is what they call quote unquote processed cheese. I am 55 years old, and I'm going to be brutally honest. I have no fucking idea what is in that at all. Clearly, it ain't cheese. It's something like cheese. In fact, some of the wrappings, the packaging, calls it imitation cheese. Surely, macaroni and cheese powder packets fall in that category. And probably anything else that's processed that people will just nuke up in the microwave really quick also fall in that category. That's not got a great odor to it. And it seems to me, now I don't know, I want to say people in a plural, it might be just one person who's just religiously in there at certain times overcooking the shit. Like it's burnt. It's burnt. Chemical cheese. It smells disgusting. It's on that line. It's on that tangent of like burning flesh out there. Like we got the old lady, one of the customers that come. Well, I don't know. I ain't seen her. She might have died. You know, this is another topic of conversation here, how people just kind of disappear out of your daily routine. But yeah, this is one. We had this one lady who would come in every day. And she smelled like she just must have come from like a tanning bed or something, because she always smelled like burning flesh. I consider her in my thoughts, in the privacy of my thoughts, as the burning lady, right? She smells like her skin is on fire. And like that smell actually lingers for like 15 minutes after she's left the building and driven off, right? The burning flesh lady. Well, this stink, this chemical cheese, this burnt chemical cheese nuked in the microwave every fucking day religiously when I'm in there having to kind of clean up the area. It's not the same smell, but like I said, it's on that same line, you know? And I fucking hate if a chemical. And you know, you eat the shit. It smells terrible. God only knows what it's made out of. And then we eat it. And we eat it. And we eat it. And we eat it. Now, I'm not that kind of eater. Oh, I have been in my life, you know. There were those days when I was a teenager. And you'd come home. You'd get off the bus. And you'd walk home and smoke a bone and put some munchy food together, whatever you find, you know. And if there wasn't easily accessible stuff like snack cakes or leftovers, you'd go into the pantry and Mom would always have, you know, half a case of macaroni and cheese of some sort. Because, you know, back in the early 80s, they were probably all 20 cents a box, right? And even now, it's like the cheapest thing you could throw at your kids to feed them a meal. But it's supposed to be a side dish, right? And one packet makes a serving basically for the whole family. Well, I'd make a packet of that shit and eat the whole thing in one sitting, you know? I'd sit down and get a glass of Coca-Cola or whatever. Iced tea, whatever was convenient, because it's all about convenience when you're eating that way, right? Yeah, and devour the entire family-sized portion, a whole box full of macaroni, sometimes two, you know? Sometimes two. I've always eaten big. But there's a situation where you've got quantity and a serious lack of quality. Anyway, it's garbage. And I've eaten that shit in my life, and I don't know more, you know? I don't know more, and I haven't in a long time. Does it taste good? Well, yeah, you know, anything with cheese has a good taste to it. It has a certain texture, a smoothness and all. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, you could put on almost anything and turn it, you know, the idea of broccoli and cheese. Why the hell would you put cheese on broccoli? Because broccoli's disgusting to fucking eat and smell. I can't stand that. You know, so somebody came up with the idea of putting cheese on it because that fixes everything. I don't recall that I've ever eaten that broccoli and cheese, but I can imagine it's a lot more palatable that way. And most anything would be. It's like you could wrap a bacon around a turd and it becomes food, right? Because bacon makes everything better. Cheese is kind of in that same category, but this is that fake cheese shit. Still, we eat it, right? We eat it. We eat it. Though I have eliminated myself from the category of people, persons that would eat that shit, I have. I've indulged. So I can't really totally cancel myself out of the picture. But I do speak to you from experience, you know. There is an overcoming involved with our lifestyles that make things better for us and everybody around us. But a chemical cheese, you know, and I smell it so frequently, so routinely, so typically, so religiously. And it's not just once a day, it's multiple times a day. I know there's multiple people going in there and they're cooking up some kind of chemical cheese, processed cheese, imitation cheese, microwave something or another. They overdo it. Instead of 1 minute, they go two, you know, and it, oh, that smell, it lingers, it gets stuck up in my fucking nose hairs. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of working in the corporate office. In the corporate office, see, this is like I call semi-industrial facility, right? So you've got like more of a blue-collar element here. And the blue-collar element tends to go in for the chemical cheese for a snack. In the corporate office, the white-collar people have more of a tendency to go in for the popcorn as a snack. So what you get there in the corporate office break room is the smell of burnt popcorn, right? And, that may even be more disgusting. It's on that same trajectory again. You've got, you know, burning flesh and burning chemical cheese and burnt popcorn. They're all burnt for one thing, but there's something kind of fleshy about them all too. I mean, none of it smells like, you know, mesquite in a smoker. That's burning too, right? But that smells good. Now, this has all got like that burning flesh thing going on. And it's like this chemical cheese has become like the burnt popcorn of the new millennium, right? And that may just be my perspective because I left the corporate office in 2006, never to return, really. And, I can't stand the smells. I just can't. And it's like people do this shit. And you know. You eat the fucking popcorn and you know it stinks up. Not only the break room, but the whole freaking wing of the floor of the building that you're on, right? You know it does because you know when somebody else does it, it pisses you off the same way. But you still fucking do it. And I'm pretty sure these knuckleheads in here knows that their chemical cheese smells like ass also, you know? Alien ass, like some ass from another planet, but ass nonetheless. You know it, but you do it anyway because, the gullet speaks to you. Those little devils inside of your body down there in your guts and gizzards, they're just all, please feed me, right? And you can't say no. They're like sirens from hell. I do custodial, janitorial, building maintenance work. I clean things, I fix things. I try to make the environment a pleasant place for your working and shopping experience, right? And you all, on the other hand, try to fuck it all up for my existence, my experience as a human being. It's a two-way road, you know? It's push and pull. It's give and take. And I get the shit end of every stick. But what I look at, you know, the things I get to see, they're all like little Polaroid photos, right? Little snapshots in my head as I go through the day. I look here and I see this ugly fucking thing. And then I look there and I smell that ugly thing, you know? And it's like the smell actually transforms into a sort of Polaroid, you know? It may just says stinky ass motherfucker, you know? But they all become these snapshots. And all these snapshots become like all these individual little puzzle pieces. And when you put the whole puzzle together, you get this vast image of the entire populace as a general collective, like a personified collective being. And what it is some fucking alien form of swine, right? The people I work with summed up in total is just like this fucking beast of swine. I have to empty their trash cans every day, right? I got to pick them up and you see what comes out. You see what's sitting in there and you see what comes jumping out. You learn like what people are eating, what their habits are. You know, you know who they are at a very personal level as a result of this kind of work. It's fucked up. And yeah, I see a collective of swine. Oh, look in the trash can. Every fucking trash can seems like candy wrappers, right? Candy wrappers all the time. We've got a certain group of people, and I'm not going to corner anybody specifically, right? But it's a certain little subsection of the certain cross-section of a certain population within the building who just eat candy hour after hour, you know, minute after minute. Because why? Because they got like two trash cans or three trash cans full of fucking candy wrappers, and they got big bowls of candy everywhere. And it's like people just sitting. And I remember, you know, like when I was a programmer, you know, sitting at the desk and a cigarette in one hand on top of the mouse, and the mouse getting like nicotine stains and ashes on the fucking mouse pad. The other hand, I got the coffee going. I'm pounding. I drink like four pots of, you know, regular caffeine coffee just during the work day, you know. It's smoking, and you just got to keep on like filling your face with crap while you're doing the stress of like this computer work, whatever it may be, you know. And what these people are doing is they're jamming candy down their gullet like that. You know, in that same regard, it's like this race against the stress that's going on in your body. You're stressing over the work, and you got to bring all this sugar into it. And I don't know. I don't fully get it. I sort of kind of do, but I don't totally. But that's what's going on. There's some kind of like stress puppy syndrome. Sitting at a computer, mouse in hand, and just stuffing your face full of this candy, hour after hour. Candy wrappers everywhere, you know? And the shape and condition of people speak it, you know? It's nothing hidden. It's not like you've got this world-class athlete sitting there eating Tootsie Rolls and Starburst and $100,000 bars and a whole mix of all kinds of shit, you know? It's not just like one candy. It's like every candy you can imagine. Just and like a variety of people come in and they'll like restock the bowl. They'll just throw all shit into this bowl and then it's gone. Like it fills up and then it's empty. It's fucking crazy. It's like the trash can contents. You got candy wrappers and then snack cakes. Of course, snack cakes. What could be more convenient than that? And it's, again, it's a sticky, sugary, syrupy, the cake-filled fucking crap. But you could just grab a couple of them as you're running out the door in the morning. They've always got some in the vending machine. You could grab them at the gas station when you stop off to fill up on the way in. And snack cakes. And I love those things because when you go to tip over the can, right, they're one of those handful of different select items that the stickiness of the sugar, you know, think of like a bear claw or something like that, right? The stickiness of the sugar is on the inside of the wrapper, and they rip that wrapper open like, you know, the monkey tearing into a cupcake, and they throw that fucking wrapper down in the trash, and it sticks to it, right? So when you go to turn it over, it doesn't come out. So you got to reach your hand. I got to reach my hand in there, the fucking maid, right? And pull this thing out by hand and deposit it into the trash. I've got more than 50 cans of trash of assorted sizes throughout this building that I got to empty every day. You think I want to make a special little stop at your area so I could peel off your bear claw wrapper with individual special attention? Perhaps you like that sort of thing. You know, you could crumple it up, you could fold it up, you could wrap it up in a piece of paper, jam it into your half-empty coffee cup, do something else with it. But the sticky, everything they eat is like sticky, syrupy, gooey fucking crap, you know? You can't eat it if it ain't going to stick to you somehow. You know, another thing that it sticks, now you get the people that are going to try to like go on a diet, right? They're going to try to go on a diet. They're going to watch their weight. You know, they've gotten out of hand. Their diabetes, blood sugar counts are kind of going through the roof. So they got to kind of do something to make it right in the world, right? So instead of eating 7 bear claws a day, they'll do 6 and they'll have a cup of yogurt, right? And the yogurt, you know, the fucking, I don't know what's in it. Strawberry jam, whatever they stuff that crap with. It's just more sticky sugar shit. You know, the yogurt may be good for a person, but the crap that they add to it, no. It's like getting a salad. I'm on a diet, so I'm going to get a salad. And you pour like 3/4 of a bottle of like a Thousand Island dressing on top of it and cheddar cheese all over. Oh, bring me the bacon too, you know. Might as well. It ain't a fucking salad anymore. Anyway, I get so mad. I don't know why I get so mad. But yeah, they eat the yogurt. What happens is they got the peel top that comes off. Their little, you know, it's like their little pudding pack, but it's yogurt instead of pudding. Some of them probably eat pudding too. Do the same thing. And they peel that top off. It's got like the little yogurt. Just, let you know, on that pseudo aluminum. I don't know what the fuck you call that shit. You know, those little peel back tops. I get them in my coffee cans, right? They're metallic. They look like metal, but they're so fucking thin. It's hard to say if they're just like some kind of paper that's coated or sprayed. I don't know. if it's the real deal or not. But anyway, I just call it the pseudo aluminum little peel back tops, and they just throw them down in the trash, and they stick right to the wall, the liner, right? They stick to the liner at the wall of the can, and you got to pull them out by hand. Got a handful of the yogurt people too to go with it. It's the same shit. You know, they're trying to like lose weight, and that's how they go about it. Well, you hear me tell you what it takes to lose weight, okay? When you're 55 years old. I'll make it quick for you right here. One word, commitment, okay? I'll give you another word, sacrifice. I'll give you another word, dedication. I'll give you another word, fortitude. But the answer is not like a pack of yogurt instead of your fucking, replacing one of your bear claws in a day. Anyway, you got the candies and snack cake wrappers and the yogurt cup tops. Of course, you get all the sugar drinks, right? That's what's in there. You got an empty bottle of every kind of soda imaginable under the sun. And then you got some, people who are Coke addicts, like Coca-Cola addicts. Literally, one guy, he must drink like 8 quarts of this shit a day. Just on the job. Just while he's in the building. There's part of the day he's not even in the building. And what does he do on his lunch break? You know, what does he do when he gets home? What happens when he gets up? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And speaking to the guy, he'll tell you, he's got diabetes. His blood sugar counts like 7,000, 2,400. And, it's like, really, it's like 400, 500. And he's taking all this medication and shit. He's going to die. You know, there's like 2-3 people on this site that I know one of these days, they're going to be laying dead on the fucking floor. And I'm going to find them there while I'm sweeping, you know. And it's going to be up to me to do something about it. You just hope at that moment that I don't remember all the fucking times you threw garbage on the floor, all the times that you missed a toilet when you were disposing of your personal waste. I hope I don't remember that at that moment. But yeah, so and they got the vending machine in there especially. Why do the vending machines always be full of fucking garbage, right? I drink water. And during the COVID era and during flu season, I'm not going to drink out of that public little fucking trough they got there, the water fountain. They got great, like, ice cold water that comes out of that thing. It's an old style one. It still hums along. It's good water, I have no idea what the mineral and chemical composition of it is anyway, but it's good and cold. But I don't want to drink that out of that when everybody's being sick and shit, I want to minimize my chances of getting sick. So I just stick to my coffee. That's what I drink. I got my own personal pot on my desk in my own area and share it with nobody. But sometimes I want water and I go over to the vending machine. Now, most vending machines in the world, they're not only going to have like one option for water, they're going to have multiple because generally speaking, a lot of people want to drink water and not drink all this crap. Not here. Not the fuck here. Nope. There is no water to choose. You got all kinds of gooey soda crap, all that syrupy shit with the, what the fuck they call that? The high fructose corn syrup, because that's good for you. That's fucking good for you. Yeah, that's available. And then the vending machines, the healthiest thing they got is like a pack of peanuts that are like triple salted to death, Why can't you sell peanuts that don't have salt on them? Or sugar with the honey roasted, It's got to be sweet. It's got to be salt. It just can't be what God made. It's got to be all this other shit. I eat peanuts. I buy like mixed nuts, bring them home. My wife eats them, but we like that kind of. That's my little snack thing, and you got to be careful with that. There's high calories in there, You've got nut oil inside of that, and that adds up quick. But I buy them raw, or roasted. But I don't get them like salted and honey roasted and whatever the fuck they do, candy coated. Whole food is the way to go. Whole food is always the way to go, and there's nothing wrong. These things have flavor. But if you're eating salt all the time, you're eating sugar all the time, then when you eat something natural, it has no pizzazz to it. It just doesn't tingle you. It doesn't fuck you up, and you need to be fucked up because it's habitual, you know? You don't even know how fucked up you are. God, I'm learning. I'm going to get into my diet, but let me just tell you. I go most days, I don't eat, and when I finally do eat, it's like fireworks going off inside of my face for that moment because just taste, you know? But as soon as I start digesting it down, I could disseminate like the salts and the sweets, like the, you know, fructose and lactose and sucrose. You know, I could identify and separate the sugars from the salts, because you got that crap kind of sort of in most everything, salt especially. And I end up just tasting that stuff. And then once I get that taste in my mouth, it makes everything else that follows taste like shit. It really does. You know, you bite into an apple and it becomes like this salt-induced apple. And it ain't quite right. And then you start searching for something that tastes good and you're not finding it because everything is fucked up by the salt. Does this make sense to you? And sugar will operate the same way. You bite into something and you got that taste of sugar in your mouth, and now something that you were expecting to be sweet is coming up not so sweet because you got that real sweet shit to compare it to. All the food that you eat, once you get your face, your tongue, your mouth, your taste buds coated with sugar and salt, always comes up short. You always end up wanting more. You try this, you try that, nothing satisfies. I was going through this weekend, you know. I ate on Saturday. I did not eat Sunday. I did not eat the 5 days before Saturday. I have not eaten the couple days since. You know, I'm on a streak right now, stretch. I'm on, it's a day eight, and I only ate one day. And that day, I only ate half a day. But I went through this whole problem about finding something that actually tastes good. And then the next problem was something that actually satisfied me. When I'm empty, I feel a whole hell of a lot better than I do when I'm eating. When I'm eating, I start chasing a feeling that I can't find. It's elusive. So you just keep on trying shit. And the next thing you know, you're full, right? When I get full, I start feeling sick and miserable. And now food is starting to look like poison to me. And nothing satiates. In these past couple of months of going through this every weekend, the only thing that seems to satiate me is ice cream. I didn't eat ice cream for like 7 years. Now I find out I can. Like, I beat diabetes. I have destroyed diabetes. It doesn't exist in me. I can eat anything I fucking want now. So I've been kind of playing around, trying this and that. It's been a long time. Eating the ice cream almost satiates me. But I think it's false. I think it's fake. I think it's a combination. All the chocolate with the caffeine, the lactose, the sugar, everything combined is more like a drug, and it gives me a false sense of satiation. But what it really does is it adds to my caloric intake massively. So if I was to, you know, like my plan, my eating plan generally, the way I go into every week is I don't eat for 5 days and then I eat on the weekends. And when I do that, I end up losing 2 pounds, right? I lose a pound a day. I don't want to get too lost in this math right now. It takes time. I'll lose a pound a day that I don't eat. That's where my metabolism is at. Yours may differ. Consult with your physician. Or don't. The choice is yours. Anyway, I'll lose a pound a day according to my metabolism. So if I go 5 days without eating, I lose 5 pounds. If I eat the next 2 days, I basically give a pound and a half each day back, like three back. I end up losing up 2 pounds a week on that diet. 5 days starvation, 2 days eating. When I eat, I generally eat whatever I want. Come the next week and everything settles, the dust clears out, and I can see the numbers for what they really are. I end up losing 2 pounds in the process. That's good. That's a good summertime diet. I go through the summer. On the weekends, I eat whatever I want. I enjoy all the barbecue and the grilling and everything. Going out, taking, you know, all that good stuff. And I sacrificed a week for it. And I still lose weight. I'm not gaining weight in the summer. I actually lose weight in the process. That's a good deal. 2 pounds a week. And that's a lot. That's a lot. If you're eating normal and then you're exercising to lose weight, good luck losing 2 pounds a week. You'll be lucky to lose one, right? Really lucky to break even, but to lose one, and you've got to maintain that perfectly over a long period of time. You fuck up one Wednesday and decide you're going to have lunch with your coworkers, forget it. You just blew it all out the window. You start gaining weight. We're that sensitive, all right? But anyway, now why did I get into all my personal shit? The ice cream, right? It doesn't work when I start eating the ice cream because my caloric intake goes crazy. I don't lose 2 pounds a week anymore. I start breaking even. So I'll starve myself for 5 days. I'll eat for two. But if I eat the ice cream, and I don't mean just like a little like Ben and Jerry's cup of it, you know, that little portion, pint, whatever. And I eat ice cream. I eat ice cream. That's a problem. I eat big. Now I'll eat fucking half gallon. No problem. No problem. Maybe two sittings. The whole thing is gone. All right. And then I'll turn to what my wife might be eating and take hers too. And she'll let me because she knows it's the devil, right? It's the devil that she doesn't need inside of her. So I end up breaking even. I starve myself for no reason except what? To enjoy ice cream? Fuck ice cream, right? Fuck it. At least I've got sensibility inside of me to make proper decisions, and I've done that. You know, fuck ice cream. You know, for now, anyway. So anyway, all that. Say what? I don't see ice cream wrappers. People don't eat ice cream at work. That, you know, I guess it's melting. You got to keep it in the freezer. That's one thing you don't see, but I guess they get that at home. I don't know. What else do I see? Gas station pizza boxes, right? The gas stations around here, and I don't know, because in New Jersey, I don't think a gas station would even try to sell pizza up there. No, who the fuck would buy it? You get this great shit everywhere you go. You know, the worst pizzeria in town makes better pizza than any, like, Little Caesars. And Little Caesars is even better than the gas station shit, probably. I don't know. I've never really done that a product comparison. I'm just going to say, as far as pizza goes, they all suck, all right? They're all not worth the bother. But gas station pizza, they had these little individual, you know, pizza-shaped, pizza-slice boxes. Somebody's buying them, bringing them in here, eating the pizza, throwing the box in. I don't have a problem with the box, but come on, you're eating fucking pizza, you're nuking processed cheese, you're eating candy all day, you've got the fucking bear claws. I didn't even get to the donuts yet, but you know, that's why I say the group collective here is some form of alien swine. Pigs from the third moon of fucking Jupiter or something. I don't know. So you get that. You know, you get that gas station pizza. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I've ever eaten gas station pizza at all. To even say anything badly about it. Maybe I should. Maybe it's the best pizza in the world. Maybe I shouldn't talk. But I'm going to tell you what. Gas station burritos were never the best burritos in the world. So I'm just going to go with my initial impulse on this, right? That's something I don't see, but you probably there's probably a couple of people who have gas station burritos in the microwave, you know? I don't know. I don't generally see burrito wrappers, you know? I remember when I was young getting drunk, you know, in the middle of the night, 7-Eleven be open, you go in to get a couple extra pack of cigarettes just in case. You don't know what life is going to be when the sun comes up, but you know you're going to be there. You know you'll be there because the party never ends. And while you're in there, it's like, fuck, I'm kind of hungry, you know? 27 gallons of fucking beer wasn't enough to fill me up. I'm going to grab me a burrito. You know what? I'm going to grab me two. I'll get one of these regular size ones and I'll get a jumbo one. That should do it for me, right? Nuke them up, you know, the 7-Eleven burritos or gas station burritos, you call it what you want to call it, and that's what I would eat in the middle of the night, you know. Don't walk into the green cloud in my bedroom come 11 o'clock in the morning when I do finally pass out. Anyhow, all right, here, donuts, I mentioned donuts. Now, you don't really get like nobody throws donut away. It's not like you're biting into a donut and throwing half of it out. No. People don't do that. It's like I was with the beer. I didn't spill a drop. I didn't pour a drop out. I didn't leave it on some fucking table. I'm an alcoholic. I drank my beer, right? These people are donutaholics. You don't see it, don't. But you, what you do see is all around the place. Every day somewhere there's a donut box. Like somebody brought a box in and shared it. Almost every day there's a donut box somewhere. It's not in the same place. It moves around, you know? And I don't know how that works. But I always got to make a special trip for the donut box. Pisses me off. Individual basis, you get these guys, a couple of them get like the bags of the little chocolate covered donuts, those little round chocolate covered ones, those hard ones. They're like eating fucking sponge rubber, right? I forget what the brand is, but they come in these little sacks, right? They come in these little sacks and paper sacks. I see a couple of those on the way every day, you know? So he eating a whole fucking bag of them, sitting at their desk. It's not like they go off in the break room on their morning break. It's not like they're going out to lunch and eating donuts and bringing the trash back. They're at their desk eating a whole bag of fucking donuts while they're working. My God, I can't even imagine. I don't eat nothing at work all day long. I don't even eat lunch on my lunch break. If I do, I eat it on my lunch break. I don't bring it back in with me, you know? I don't eat anything while I'm working at all, period. It's me. Maybe I'm just special. Maybe I'm just peculiar, right? Another thing I see, and here's the death factor of it all, right? Cigarette packs, empty cigarette packs, because you know, nobody's throwing cigarettes out. They're worth like a fucking $1.45 a piece now, you know? I used to get them for 35 cents a pack when I started smoking. I smoked Marlboros for 32 years, 2 to 3 packs a day, sometimes more, depending on how much I was drinking, right? All that time. So I know about smoking. I get it. And that's what got me a heart attack, right? Had a conversation with the cardiologist after the fact and put 2 and 2 together and say, yeah, it was the cigarettes that did it. I eat big, I gained weight, and I smoked a lot of cigarettes in my life. But it was the cigarettes that really did me in. Why? Because I know tons of fat people that don't smoke and they just keep on eating like pigs forever and ever, amen, and don't have heart attacks. It's the cigarettes that do it. So we got people who eat like I used to eat, you know, pigs, eating everything all the time, all day, even while they're working. And they're smoking all the time, too, you know. Not right in their work area, but they got to go outside and have a cigarette break every half hour or so. And I know what that's like. You're just killing yourself. I'm not going to tell you to stop. People told me to stop. I was the last one to quit, you know. In the 90s, it became trendy to quit. Who was the last one on the block, you know? The most physically fit person, the one who exercised the most and dieted the strictest, was the last one to quit smoking. And I was last to quit smoking by like 10 fucking years out of all of my people, right? But I had a heart attack to do it. That's what it took. My last cigarette was on the way to the emergency room. Literally. Accurate story. I was going to the emergency room for a heart attack, and I'm smoking a cigarette out the window of the fucking car. Some might call that addiction. But yeah, so the empty packs of the cellophane in these trash cans, or empty packs and the cellophane. The cellophane usually misses, right? The cellophane always ends up on the floor. That's the thing. They go to throw it away and it doesn't fall right. It flutters in a fucked up, twisted, like a drunk and dying butterfly landing to its death on the ground, right? And it ends up on the ground. And you don't see it half the time. I'll come by with the broom later on in the day, later on in the week, and there'll be like 4 of them at one person's area, workspace. I thought, how did I miss that last time I came through? Well, they're clear. You don't see them. Pain in the ass. Every little fucking thing, you know? Got to wait till the light hits it right somehow before it becomes even visible. So what else? You know, what I really fucking hate, right? Half drinks. People drink half of whatever they got and they just put it back in the trash can. So when I go to tip the trash can, it comes spilling out all over, right? And they're really clever because they'll bury it. They'll put like a sheet of paper on top so you don't even know it's there. It just hits you all of a sudden, you know? And then it sprays out sideways because it hits that piece of paper that was on top of it. These people are fucking evil geniuses, you know, when it comes to shit like that. It's usually like some kind of coffee product. You know, these people go to Starbucks and they buy all this sugarized, twisted, I don't know what the fuck it is. I go there and I say, give me a coffee. What's a coffee? You can order this, and they start going through, you know? That's it. Give me a fucking coffee. Black. Thank you. The size can't be, you know this shit, too. It can't be small, medium, large. It's got to be all this other fucking grande and whatever. I'm not sophisticated in the coffee realm, and I have no aspiration to be. But I probably drank more coffee than any of the motherfuckers in the realm. Anyway. Well, I'm getting so kind of edgy and negative in this conversation. See, I'm focusing on things that perturb me. So now I'm perturbed. And I'm speaking from that place of perturbedness. Well, you might have to experience my perturbedness. There may be a reason for you to hear this at this time. Okay? Just let it be whatever it's going to be. It'll differ person to person. Your experience may differ. Please consult with your physician. Or, as the case may be, probably is, your psychiatrist. Because that's how this world is these days. You wonder why people do what they do, act the way they act, eat what they eat, drive the way they drive. You got to figure 6-7 out of every 10 people are on some kind of psychotropic medication for one reason or another. And the ones who aren't are probably like on crank and fucking drunk. It's not so easy. It's not so easy. And then you get this thing, right? This is not like what's in a trash can. It's not trash can contents. It's back to the smell in the break room. You get foreign people, right? Foreign people, they come from some different countries and shit. And they come in, they nuke up their leftovers from the night before that their wife made them, because that's great. You got a good wife and a happy family life, and she packs up your meals for you as you're going out the door every morning. And I don't even know if they know what the fuck they're eating. There's no telling what this stuff is. The guys from all over the world, Africa, Asia, wherever, you know, they're from all these different places and eating all this kind of food that I've never heard of. And my God, it smells. It smells. I can't tell you what the smell I'm smelling is, because I don't know what it is they're eating. I can't say it's fish. I can't say it's chemical cheese. I can't say it's burnt popcorn. It's this nuclear something from like a foreign land that I don't know what it is, and I never smelled a smell before. But it's horrible. It's fucking disgusting. And then the customers up front, they pack this stuff for shipping, right? For shipping. It breaks open, leaks all over. You don't know what the fuck it is. You know, it's like, do we got to call OSHA out here? You know? Hey. Horrible. It's horrible smells. My job is a horrible experience. I don't think the people working here are so aware of just how disgusting this place is, right? Because it's not their focus. They make it disgusting, so they kind of turn a blind eye to it, like they turn a blind eye to me. Nobody wants to look at the guy who's got to clean up behind them. They all try to pretend I'm not there in passing, right? I'm like a ghost. You know, you come around a corner and you see a person coming at you, and your whole spirit's about to say, hey, how you doing? And then you look and you see it's a guy who cleans up after you, and then you turn around and pretend. Because you know you just threw something on the fucking ground instead of putting it in the garbage. You know you did that. Your guilty conscience betrays you, right? I know why you're not saying hello to me. Because I could be a pretty friendly dude, you know? And people eat the shit that they eat, right? And then, you know, like the collective personification, right? The collective soul of this entire group of people is some kind of alien pig from the third moon of Jupiter, right? The swine from the space. But the entire summary of everything that they've eaten collectively comes out where? In the collective shit. Their waste, right? So everybody end up in the bathroom and everything they've eaten ends up in the fucking bathroom. So you got the sum total of everything that these pigs have devoured, and now the smell of the place becomes this whole one congealed death cloud. And the only thing I could liken it to is like roadkill armadillo. It's as though that's what they've eaten and maybe burnt some processed cheese on top of it. I don't know. But it's just terrible. I mean, it doesn't even smell like shit, you know? Somebody cuts a fart, fuck, it stinks, you know? No, this smells like some kind of fucking dead carcass. It's a different thing. And it's not like one little corner in the bathroom, like some guy just took a shit and he's in, like in the far corner and it just got his own little personal cloud hovering over there, you know? No, the whole fucking place. And it, you know, like it leaks out into the locker area and shit. It's fucking, I go in there, can of Lysol, you know, knock it down. I go in there, I pour bleach all over the place. Pour a little down every fucking drain and a couple of the urinals, bleach, and just let it sit there, you know? Sometimes, and people don't like it, and that's the point. Sometimes I will just take straight bleach and pour it on the floor and mop the entire fucking floor so it smells like bleach for the next 36 hours. And the people who go in there camping, right? They go camping on the toilets. They can't no more. Their eyes start burning out. Their lips start chapping and, you know, they start wheezing, right? Because the bleach is getting in their lungs. And you know, a couple of them start getting mad and shit. But, hey, it's an old custodial trick that I've learned from a guy who did this for an entire living, right? His whole life, from 20s to 60s, guy did this shit at another facility around here. And he told me sometimes you just got to bleach them out. Right? It's a payback. It's a payback for all your disgustingness. You know, and I talk like I'm aloof, right? Like I don't make garbage and I don't stink and I'm so much better than, you know. And thank God I'm not a eugenicist, because the first fucking people I would kill, you know what I mean? To make my utopia, I would just put something in your fucking Coca-Cola and in your bear claws. I'd put something in that yogurt that you think is so good for you. You know, that's what I would do if I was Bill Gates. You know, I would get you through the food because y'all a bunch of fucking pigs and you can't stop eating. That's another story. That's a nightmare story. It's a horror story, but it's a story. It's like you could look at my own trash can at work. You're not going to find nothing. You know what you're going to find in my... If I had my own personal trash can at work, you know what you'd find in it? Coffee grinds. Right? I got to pour my coffee grinds out. And I put... But see, I wouldn't put that in like a little trash barrel. I put that in the collective trash barrel where it belongs. We have a special barrel put aside for food items, wet items, you know. These people that want to throw their half a fucking latte in the trash, they're supposed to go in, pour it in the sink. And then you just use the trash can next to the sink for the rest. If you've got food stuff, we've got a barrel there in the break room to put your food stuff in. But no, they put it at their workspace location. So if I'm not here, if I take like a long weekend, you're going to have some kind of food item sitting there for 4 days. And it's going to start to turn, right? It's going to stink. You're going to have, you know, if mice get, or rats get in the building, roaches, ants, everything, they're coming for it. There's a reason why we have things set up the way we're set up, but nobody wants to abide by it. But me, yeah, the closest I come to that is the coffee grinds. I don't have my own personal small little trash pail. I have the collective barrel that stays by my desk. Everything ends up in there anyway, right? So that's what you're going to get. And you're going to get the sweet and low wrappers, right? At home, it's the same thing, you know, because I don't eat either fucking place. When I am eating, what do you get? You know, what do you get? My trash canisters are going to have coffee grinds with the filter, right? The little white filter. Sweet and low packets. those little pink things. Chicken bones, right? I eat a lot of fried chicken when I eat. I always get some kind of fried chicken. A lot of times they don't have bones, but sometimes they do. So when they do, you're going to get chicken bones. Chili pepper stems, right? I put chili pepper on so much food. My wife usually does the cooking for me. But there's moments where I do also, right? I taught her a couple of things. But she's a good cook, and she likes to do it, so I let her at it. I'm a pretty good cook, too, but I just have my certain specialties. But they frequently involve chili peppers. So when I cut the stem top off, those will end up in the trash. We talk about the peel-away, what I call pseudo-aluminum coffee can seals, right? I get the coffee in a can, and they got those little peel tops that I don't know if they're sprayed paper, or metallic-coated paper, or if they're actually very thin aluminum. I don't know. Or whatever the fuck they are, you'll find those periodically as I open up a new can. What else? Oh, carbonated water, fizzy water, Perrier. Well, not Perrier. I get the cheap store brand stuff. You know, cans of it. I like fizzy water, and I drink at least one of them a day. You know, on the weekends, I drink a lot of them. You know, we buy them by the case, if there are cases available. Otherwise, it's 12 packs, and that, you know, so I make fizzy water cans. And you could see now, you could see what I'm talking about. You don't have sticky shit in there, right? You don't have anything really rotting away. Now, the coffee grinds will start growing mold after 3 or 4 days sitting there. But our garbage doesn't sit for 3 or 4 days at home or here, you know. Not in the barrel, not my shit anyway. If at work, yeah, trash will sit there for 3 or 4 days, but not if I'm here. And if I'm not here, I'm not throwing coffee grinds in. Understand? You wouldn't even think about these things, but I'd do, you know. So that I don't make for a whole lot of trash the way I eat and the way I live. You know, my wife will tell you. My wife, you know, there's always Sweet and Low wrappers on the counter because I drink like 3-4 cups of coffee every morning. One or two of them end up in the trash. One or two of them end up sitting on the counter. And if I don't get it when I come home, she gets it. So she sees that. She makes coffee more often than not. So she's emptying out the grinds that are used for my coffee. Whatever, you get the idea, right? And I'm not going to tell you that when you go in the bathroom and you smell what I leave behind, that it smells like petunias and shit. It don't, but I think it smells like it's supposed to smell. It doesn't smell like a roadkill armadillo baking in the summer Texas sun with chemical cheese poured all over it.
Thank you for tuning into Post-Stalin Monologics. Please understand that this project is meant to be part of a long-term archive as a series of snapshots reflecting a distant past. We are not seeking advertisers, but may at times accept private anonymous donations to help mitigate production costs. Further information involving this project and archived releases of Post-Stalin Monologics can be accessed over the World Wide Web at poststalin.com and at onsert.com. Comments, critiques, and inquiries may be submitted to Maverick through email at maverick88@poststalin.com.